It doesn't exist for me.
I start from the mission again.
Yeah. Serve the Heilige Mishnah.
We're holding today. Should have started first where we're holding, yeah? 47 days in Sefirat HaOmer, Daf Lamed Tes in Shabbos. Let's start again from the Mishnah on Lamed Tes on the base and get back into the circle. I'm going to try that again. It's been such a hefsek. I think it's a Yosef with the Achilles Pras between it.
So
Tanush is a good cash of Givava, or you ten Ben Mitocho Ben Yagaba. Kupakshi siku bekashu begevava harezek ifirayim begefet uveitzim areim ketanu. So as we spoke yesterday, this Mishnah is interested in defining an interrelationship between the kli in which the bishul would be taking place and the fuel which is used. So it's telling us a very interesting chiddush that you can have something which is midway between the two extremes of kelim, the two extremes bring the tanur on one end, which is very, first of all, it's very stable in that it has its thick and it's big, and therefore it maintains its heat, it's unexposed, and it's built in such a way to maintain the heat inside it because of its construction. Wide on the bottom, thin on the top, doesn't have a lot of exposure to the air in the area where it would be most likely to lose because of the air convection. When it comes to the kira, it's the exact opposite. You have a very large surface area to disperse heat because it has a place for shvitat shteke deirot on top. It's basically flat, and obviously it doesn't contain anywhere near as much density of matter, and it doesn't have the ability to maintain its heat. In the middle, you have a kupach. A kupach is not a tanur, but on the other hand, it only has a place for one kedera. And therefore, it maintains its heat better than a kira, but nowhere near as good as a tanur. Here, our Mishnah tells us that, for all intents and purposes, we'll treat a kupach like a kira if it was heated with gefet and etzim. Did I say like a kira tanur?
Well,
I meant like a tanur. And we'll treat it like a kira if it's heated bekashu begivava. Now, exactly what the other elements are, we're talking about a Gorof HaKotum, or we're talking about Shehiya, Chazor, and so on, all of that seems to be left up in the air. Now we're going to clarify that in our Gemara. And so, says the Gemara, I said the Mishnah, right? Tanur Shizikua. Now, Sodri of Yezu Lameimar, when we make the distinction here in the Mishnah, and we say that it's Osir Tocho, and it's Osir Al-Gabav, we mean those two conditions, Tocho Tocho Mamash, Al-Gabav Al-Gabav Mamash, Avalismo Shabridami. To put something next to a tanur to warm would be okay. Now the Gemara uses this assumption here as a wedge to open up the other issues of the Mishnah, which is what's the situation vis-a-vis grief of Ikatima, and really Shia the Chazor, as we'll see. Now, Abaye asks on Rabbi Yosef's contention that Kupach, Shizikua, in our same Mishnah, after Tanur, continues on to say that a Kupach, Shizikua, Bekashu, Begevava, Harehu, Kechirai, Begepet, Uveitzim, Harehu, Ketanur, in which case, if it's Ketanur, it's Osir. But if it had been Kekira, in other words, it would be Mutter. Now, I'd like you to define to me clearly, says Abaye, what exactly is the status of this kupa? We heated it up, and we heated it up, begev to Beit Sim, and you're saying then that it's a tanur. If it's Bekash Begrava, so then it's Kekira. Fine. But let's take a look at it for a moment. We heated it with Gevet to Beit Sim, we're saying it's a Areo Kitanur. Mashma, that what? That only because it's a tanur, it's Osir. But if it would be Kekira, it would be Mutter. Right? I mean, obviously, otherwise what's the point? Now, I'd like to have further clarification about the case, but my askina, when you say in a kira it would be mutar, are we talking about al-gabam? Let's assume for a moment we're talking on top of the kira, which is a standard case, okay? Again, are we talking about a garufa vikatuma or an ina garufa vikatuma? There might. Ilema b'she'inu garufa vikatuma. Now, the truth is that the Gemara sticks, according to Abaye, with this assumption, that it's not goruf v'katum. Rashi says, I don't know, he just sort of took this case because Kasakatak was an Anagrufa. It's not that Abaye had a particular prejudice to say he was talking about an Anagrufa. Tosfos says, well, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, then why does he stick with it when you need somebody else say, no, it's talking about actually where it was Goro? I mean, it's the most obvious thing. You started off saying, and what's the case? Elam, so finish it up and say, okay, so I could talk about the group of Ketuma. Tosfos explains that Abaye holds that it is absurd to consider that the case would be a group of Ketuma. Why? Because we're trying to say that if I used Gepet Veitzim, then a Kupak would be a Tanur. If it's a group of Ketuma, that's ridiculous. How could it be like a Tanur? But Bishleim, if you're telling me that it has heat inside of it, you want to be Machman, and I say, oh, fine. But I mean, to go along now and to say that we're talking about a grufa, and there's a difference between Gepet, the Eitzim, Kash, the Gevova. The point is, you took the heat out, and you're saying that a Kupak cannot maintain heat in the same way that a Tanur can maintain heat. So why would I give it a dinner of a Tanur? Oh, it's got to be talking about b'she'ena gruva v'ketuma. And I'm taking it as a double portion, says Abaye. That's what that's what it's talking about. If it's ena gruva v'ketuma, so then why are you telling me it's usher because it's like a tanur? But if it would have been like Akira, it would have been mutar. Akira is mutar? Who said Akira is mutar? Kira. Ki ena gruva v'ketuma. Al-gabab mishori is Akira okay for... For what? Uh-oh. We didn't say for what? For Shehiyah? For Chazorah? What's the case? Is Akira Mutar? The Mashmaut is, well, Akira certainly can't be Mutar, even if it's talking about Shehiyah. Which is, of course, Shaloki Hananya. I mean, we just finished the whole page of saying that Akira is Mutar for Shehiyah. So what are you telling me? It's not Mutar? From here brings the Rif Araya, that we have thrown Hananya out of the window. And the Gemara doesn't even entertain the fact. The Gemara should have screamed at Abaye. What do you mean? Of course. And Akira would have been Mutar. And we just say, going to Hananya, she is Mutar. Must be that the Gemara has concluded, as a Dabar Pashur, that the Halakha is not like Hananya, which forms the basis of the Rif's Sar. Shaloki Hananya because of the Stam Sugya in the continuation. Right here? The other Rishonim say, no, not at all. Because this Mishnah has to be seen essentially as a continuation of the previous Mishnah. If the previous Mishnah was talking about a case of Chazora being Osir, so then obviously the next Mishnah is going to talk about the case which we said was Osir in the previous Mishnah, which was Chazora, perhaps, if you hold like Hananya. I mean, it's just as open as it was before. We didn't know how to learn the first Mishnah, we don't learn the second Mishnah. So therefore what we're saying is, assuming that the first Mishnah was talking about an Isser of Shehiyah without Gerufa of the Ketima, then what would be the din in this Mishnah? Abaye is saying, now what, that it is Mutter without Gerufa of the Ketima? What are you saying? Akira would be Mutter, Akira wouldn't be Mutter. Assuming that it is Mutter, but then obviously the case that we're trying to talk about it in comparison is the case where it's Osir, namely Chazera. Then this Mishnah would be talking about Harehu Kikira Vasur Lachziralav, not Asur Lishotalav is Mutar. Okay, so now you're telling me the only reason that this thing is Asur is because it's like a Tanur. Yeah. No, and Akira would be Mutar. Akira is also not Mutar to be Chozralav. Ella's gotta be talking about it. The only way the case makes sense to me, taking my assumptions being, first of all, can't be talking about Goro for Katan, because by no stretch of the imagination would I turn a Kupach into a Tanur if it doesn't have any fuel in it, so that doesn't make sense to me. So it can't be Goro for Katan. And it's got to be talking about the case that was Usser in the first Mishnah. And here you're saying the only reason that it's Usser is because it's like a Tanur, it doesn't add up. Because even if it wasn't like a Tanur, it was like Akira, it would still be us. Therefore, the only thing that the Mishnah must be saying is that it's a Tanur and Usser in ways that on Akira, it wouldn't be Usser. Aha! What is that, my dear friend? Smicha! So in Akira, it's okay to put it next to the Kira, as we saw. And by a tanur, it's not okay. And that's the whole point of the Mishnah, for God's sake. You're telling me, Rabbi Yosef, well, smicha's okay. I mean, analyze the Mishnah. The only thing the Mishnah was talking about was smicha. And you're saying, well, smicha's okay. On the contrary, smicha's the one thing that's not okay. Because everything else would have been usher anyway, even if it was a kira. Therefore, says Abaye, Rabbi Yosef's conclusion is completely unsupportable from the Mishnah.
Everything else you would have known already.
Everything else doesn't matter to me. What do I care if it's like a kira, if it's like a tanur? I mean, there's no point in saying it because it's usher in kira too, given that it's in a group of vena ketuma.
Why is it in a group of two?
Because, as I said, otherwise. Because otherwise, it makes no sense to turn a kupach into a tanur when it has no fuel in it. If you're telling me a kupach is capable of being shomer, it's home, and it warms up under certain conditions, what conditions? Where I took the fuel out?
Oh,
it's so unlikely. I mean, I'm just not willing to entertain it.
The tanner was made to do that, to hold the thing. Kupach is just to hold the pot.
Yeah, kupach is basically, I mean, it's a stove top. There's no way it's going to stay that hot that it should be like a tanner. I mean, it doesn't really seem reasonable. Now, of course, this is the one weak link in a biased chain of reasoning. So that Rabbi Yosef can insist, as Rav Ada Bar Ava does right now, that you say if it's group of a ketum, it can't be like a tamer. Maybe the point is that it's shomer its chom sufficiently that we have to be machmeran and more than a kira. That's all that it's saying. It's like a tanur in that sense. You can't put it on top. It's not like a tanur. What are we saying? That smif is also lavdafka. Therefore, says Rav Ada Bar Ava, no. I say it's talking about a kupach that is garavakatum. It's talking about a tanur that is garavakatum. And that's the point, that areyu kitanur, the chiddush being that a tanur is so much shomer its chom, the afagav, the garavakatum, it's osir al-gabav. But only al-gabav, because if it was a kira and it was grufa vikaturma, then it would be mutar al-gabav, because it was grufa vikaturma. So there, Shapir Dami. So in other words, the Tanur, even though obviously if it's Gruva Viketuma, we can't real, or at least Grufa, we can't be Chayish for Chitui, there's nothing to be Chot if Yod Grufa is entirely. But it's certainly Mechzik Mevasho. We have that element that we always need to take into consideration as well, as we said yesterday. You're putting something in an oven, it just doesn't look like the right thing to do on Shabbos. Depending on what you hold, whatever you hold, even if it's even like Tosis, you're putting it right before, it looks like you're cooking it. I mean, you're planning on cooking on Shabbos. Not the Kubal Aleinu.
On an oven or a Kubal?
Inatana.
Yeah, Inatana.
So, even though there's no Chashash of Chitui. Tanya Kavasi de Abaye. Lamaisa, we have a Raya that Abaye is right, and that the Smicha actually is also. Here's this Tanur and this Bright that says, Tanur shisikua bekasha begivava, ain't some chimlo. Even if it was only kasha begivava, you cannot do smicha to a tanur. And obviously, ain't some chlomer agabav, ain't some chlomer tachoy. Certainly can't use it on the top and on the inside. By the way, again, those modern poskim who seek to turn our electrical ovens into a kira as opposed to a tanur, one of the important things that they're sonech on is this, that ein tzarech lomar agabav, ein tzarech lomar betocho. That is to say that a tanur has a top and an inside. But something which only has an inside, such as our ovens, they're never used on top. I mean, it's a separate kira that's on top, obviously, with separate sources of heat and so on and so forth. So our ovens, by the way, that's a very modern thing. Usually you have this big thing, and on top, here's where you put your pots. You have a separate burner or anything on top. You have this thing that stayed hot all year round, basically. It couldn't afford to cool it down later on. And it just stayed on in the middle of that. When you wanted to heat something, you put it on top of it. So this is the meaning of a tanur. Our tanuri, we can't eat on top of them. They're called kiras that you put inside instead of there. Where do we find that there's an afkamina between tofu?
The things used, the whole thing is enclosed, so less heat.
Be that as it may, but it's not. It's certainly not included in the concept of tanur, which we're machalic between tofu and al-gabab and so on. kosher ain't lo gabav ain't lo tov, is the way they put it. Okay, I mean, obviously they put it together with the other shitas who hold that we don't aser really this din of tocho, we don't really necessarily aser if it's under. We'll talk about it in our halacha review later. Okay, fine. So here it says beferish ein somchim lo. Obviously, you can't put it on top, you can't put it inside, and obviously, if you use gefet veitzim, I mean, that is nothing to discuss. I mean, here we're talking about even kash the gevava when it comes to a tanur. Kupak shisi kupak kash gevava. There is some chimlo. There is no problem. Huh? You see, then that's the issue. They notrim al gabav beget veitzim ain't some chimlo. The fairish not like Rabbi Yosef, exactly what Abaye said, that really the whole focus over here is on smicha. Beget veitzim ain't some chimlo. Omele Ravach, great Ravel Ravashi. I don't understand exactly what a kupach is. This is the first time that the Gemara is going to deal with this issue. We've been taking all of this for granted. I mean, I don't get it. Ikakira dami, I feel like if we're talking about its insulating capabilities, so then if you're telling me it's a kira, so then what's I understand. So then if it insulates as well as a kira, then what's the difference if I use gefet veitzim? It still is not going to keep its heat that long. And if you're telling me that it insulates the way a tanner, so then even if it's kash v'gevav, it should also be aser. Namilo. Omarain. And explain to him that it's basically constructed to be in the middle. Nafish havle midakira. Vizuter havle midatanner. It keeps its heat. By the way, havle is heat in the Gemara as opposed to temperature. So nafish havle midakira. Vizuter havle midatanner. Hethidami kupak, hethidami kira. How exactly are they constructed externally? On Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, a kupach has only makom shvitat kterachat. It has room to put one pot on a burner. Whereas a kira has place for shvitat shtei kterot. And that explains the difference, because there's so much more area to lose its heat in a kira. On Rabbi Yitain Rabbi Yirmiya, you know, it's interesting, we can see this clearly. We could see it clearly for the Mishnah in Kalim, because the Mishnah in Kalim says that if you have a kira that was split into two lengthwise, it loses its tumah. But if it's split into two widthwise, it's still tameh. Mashenkin a kupach, whether it's archa or rocha, would be tar. So obviously, a kira that's split into two along its length has no place to put anything. If it's split into two, along its length, I meant, sorry. The Gemara is using a long, I'm saying a long, it's saying length. So in other words, if you cut it the long way, so it has no place for anything. If you cut it through its width, it still has a place in each piece left to be used. Yeah, so there it doesn't lose its tuna. But the kupach, no matter how you split it, it's gone. It doesn't have room now for anything.
If two, instead of going top down,
out of the box. Always out of the box. The question is, you have to be attached on some level to the box. But that's true. Now we here are concerned with two issues in this Mishnah. First of all, we're concerned with the question of cooking not utilizing a fire. And there's a number of different ways to do that. We can heat things up with a fire and cook with that which was heated. That's very standard in hotel kitchens and so on. You have a steam heat or a hot water heating. That's called toldot ha'ur, something which came directly from the fire, but is not the fire itself. You can also cook with alternative sources of energy. So you could cook in the sun, or you could cook with radiation, with other kinds of radiation. What would be the din there? There you would need to distinguish between whatever that source was. Let's call it chama, because that's what we use for alternative sources, just as a shorthand. So you have chama, and you have ur. Chama includes everything else, including uranium and so on, in those cases later on. But that's all called Hamath, just coincidentally. So there you have to be machalik between Hamath and Toldot HaHamath. You'd think that Toldot HaHamath would, if Hamath is mutter, Toldot HaHamath for sure mutter. But notice that Toldot HaHamath are easily confused with Toldot HaUr, whereas Hamath and Ur are not confusable. Yes. You could come up with a strange situation in which water that is heated from a solar heater is more Hamar because of the fact that the water that heated it was circulating while it was in a separate container. Whereas if the water itself had passed by the sun, then maybe it would be mutter. Which, of course, has every connection to our modern contraptions.
Right. Yeah, and it looks like a gezera, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's worse than that. The main thing doesn't have gezera at all. It's even worse. All right, so that's one issue. The other issue that we need to talk about is what is called cooking, precisely. Now, some things are edible without cooking. Cooking certainly improves them. Is cooking a process that needs to be essential in order for it to be the deraisa of cooking? That's one issue that we might consider in this mission. Another question is, we spoke about cooking k'machal ben drusai before. There are things that are cooked in such a way that you can't distinguish machal ben drusai. Some things are cooked by the simple passage of hot water over them. Let's say tea leaves, something like that. I mean, is that called cooking? It's not even the water long enough, necessarily. The tea itself, especially the way we make it nowadays. Is that called cooking? How about something which is easily completed by just putting it into hot water? Would it have to be on a fire to cook it? Could you cook it because whatever heat it needs, it's called the derech of bishul for that thing by just using maybe some hot water from a faucet, and that would be cooking? Exactly. All of these issues, really, if you take the various Mishonim's approach, there's really four or five different approaches to some of the sugyas in the Mishnah, but between all of the approaches, we would deal with all of those shaylas, really, and more. So, in notnim beitzah betzad hamecham, and here's an interesting case, because a beitzah, first of all, a beitzah has different levels of cooking. Some people like hard-boiled eggs, and some people like soft-boiled eggs. Furthermore, a beitzah doesn't take much to start getting hard. A little bit of heat, as you know, when you leave it in a place where you shouldn't have left it, and you sort of, it's no longer the nice egg that it was, it's already the equivalent of a soft-boiled egg, which you didn't want. Sometimes even on a nice hot summer day when you make the mistake of leaving your legs outside. And that's another issue. So it's kal levashel. Another question is, it can be eaten raw. Many people eat the eggs raw, just the way it is. So, I mean, is that considered to be a bishul then, if it really doesn't make any difference? I mean, we know by bishul akum, if something that's eaten raw, the bishul akum is not considered to be bishul. It's unimportant. So maybe that's true over here. So we take a Beitzah as a nice example of a couple of different possible issues. You are not allowed to take this Beitzah and put it next to a hot water kettle. If your intent is b'shvil shetit galgel, you want it to, now, tit galgel is also a word that we couldn't use by anything else but an egg. And it's a very useful word, because other things, either you could be tzoleh or you're not tzoleh. Whatever defines it, tzliyah, it's considered gemachal ben drusoy, whatever it is. It's the beitzah that goes from the level of titgalgel to the level of actually tzliyah, the way the Gemara puts it. So a hard-boiled egg is tzalui. Mitgalgel is it's sufficiently solidified that you can now spin it, which of course is the test for an egg. If it spins, and you can tell how well it spins, you can tell how well it's cooked. Because the yolk moves and therefore absorbs the energy of the spin, so it won't spin. So tit galgel. Right? So therefore, when we say bishvil tit galgel, we mean even to just make a soft egg. Soft enough to keep the yolk in one place, but it's still not a hard-boiled egg. So you can't put it next to a water kettle. Now, a water kettle would be cooking with water that was heated on the fire but it's now in the heat's in the water, not in the fire. So I'm not cooking in a fire. I'm cooking by exposure to heat, which is being held by water that had been heated in a fire. Is that considered to be
touching the vessel or touching waters?
It doesn't necessarily have to touch.
Next to.
Near.
Assuming that the heat is going to be in
it. Yeah, exactly. You put it on top of your kettle, basically.
Mm-hmm. How long will it take to get sufficiently enough?
I don't know, but in our restaurant experiments, that can be one of the things we'll do. We'll have different people eating different levels of it. You guys can handle that part. We'll deal with the steak issue.
So somebody keeping track of these
experiments. The loyavki enovisudarim. Now, the other thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to crack an egg open on a handkerchief that has been sitting outside on a hot tin roof. We'll get to the hot tin roof itself later. But it's been sitting outside, and it's a really hot handkerchief. You're not, of course, this is not a handkerchief, because a handkerchief wouldn't keep very much heat in it. But a sudar is a nice, thick, you know, a turban thing. It contains a lot of heat. It's not at a very high temperature, perhaps. But again, if I break an egg in it, the egg cooks. So I would be cooking then in, not in the sun, but in the toldot hachama, in something which had been heated by the sun. So don't do that. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, there's no problem in doing that, actually. Rabbi Yossi matir. We're going to see in the Gemara how far Rabbi Yossi goes. V'lo yatminenu b'chol u'ba'avak derachim b'shvil sh'teitzaleh. And you should not put an egg into sand. Now, this is not sand, any old sand, because as Tosis points out, the Gemara says clearly about Mitzia, that sand is only an insulator. It's not going to heat something that's cold, and it's not going to cool something that's hot. It'll keep you in whatever state it was. So it's got to be talking about over here heated sand. In other words, this sand has been sitting out on a hot beach, and now you are going to put your egg in the hot sand, and you're going to have yourself a fresh egg on the beach without needing to even bring along a mangal. Don't tell the Israelis about this. It would destroy the national day of celebration. So don't put it into chol. Don't put it into avak drachim, which when the roads used to be covered with dust, as opposed to tar, that would be a good way to cook an egg too, because there was one place where the sun, things would be exposed to the sun. You take your egg, and you put it under an area of the street that was hot, and hope nobody drives along with a Mack truck, and then you get yourself some nice hot fresh eggs. So you don't do that. Now here, for some reason, Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to argue, which is strange. I mean, why did he say it's okay in the first case, when he was talking about the handkerchief, and it's not okay when it's talking about the sand? So that isn't clear. The Gemara is going to be bothered by this. Ma'aseh sha'asu anshei Tveria. Now, there was actually a ma'aseh. In Tveria, of course, they have a great geothermal source of heat. Problem is, you can't drink that stuff. It stinks, and it's highly mineralized. And so what did they do? They basically use geothermal energy to heat their swimming pools. But they use fresh water, of course, put through pipes that went through Chamei Tveria. The water got hot as it passed through the pipe, and then you had piping hot water. So they took a silon, which is a hose, and it was filled with cold water, and they passed it through an ama shel chamin. So they had a long area where they had the Chamei Tveria flowing along, and then there was this closed pipe that went through the ama. And they had a great life going for themselves until those rabbis found out about it again. Sure enough, if somebody's having a good time, wouldn't you know?
This was really long.
The
Chamei Tveria and Tveria are two separate areas.
But you can take a little walk out there for a nice bath, you know.
So it doesn't mean that they're not in Tveria.
I don't know what the extent of it is. So Amrula Amchachamim. Well, we're going to tell you guys something. Im b'Shabbat, if you're talking about now the water that had passed the pipe on Shabbos, we're giving it a din of chamin shulchamu b'Shabbat v'asurin. It'll be like water that you heated on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to rechitza. not allowed to take a bath in it, you're not allowed to drink it. It's bad news, which is much, but if you had hot water from Erev Shabbos, it would be okay to go swimming.
Why is it
in a heated pool?
Isn't this exactly?
In other words, be yes, sir.
But it is hamishu.
But it's not. It's not cooked in the way that you would think would be usher. V'im b'yom tov, k'chamin shuchamu b'yom tov. Of course, you can't use it to swim in, but you can drink it at least, because you're allowed to eat water for drinking purposes on yom tov. We'll get into the details of this in the Gemara. But first our question is, Ibayelu, Gilgal Mai, what would be the din if a guy went ahead and he actually did cook an egg in this way? Is this like a gzeira that we're afraid you're going to cook the egg normally, or is it an actualicity right? Rav Yosef, look at it, this is cooking. Gilgal chayav chatat. I mean, being as an egg can be cooked in this fashion, and it's advantageous. No, it can be cooked in this fashion. In other words, this is something, it requires very little cooking. And that's considered to be cooking. What do you mean? But cooking means a major change. Something that requires a major change, cooking is a major change. Something that requires a smaller change, it's a smaller change. Again, if that's the issue. There are other Rishonim who explain that the issue is cooking in something that was heated by the fire itself. Is that a deraisa or derabbana? Says Rav Yosef, that's a deraisa, because lemaisa, it cooks. What's the nafkamina? It all comes from the in the first place. There are those who ask that in the Mishnah there was actually, in the Mishkan, it would appear that there was actually toldot ha'ur as the lechatchila, because in the description of the hachana of the shemen hamishcha, it talks about using hot water for cooking it up. In which case, that would be a fundamental kind of bitch. Well, this is just the whole discussion in the hachonim about this. Omar Marbre de Ravina, Afanana Mitanina. Rabbi Yosef is saying this mitzvah as far. The truth is that we actually see this very clearly from the Mishnah we're going to see later on, that kol shabbat hamin milifnei shabbat. Anything. Now, Rashi learns this is talking about anything that was meant to be eaten as a salted, like salt fish, herring, that type of thing, which usually is put into a hot water soak before you eat it. So if it was put into that hot water before Shabbos, there's no problem of going and doing the same thing on Shabbos itself. And that way you soften it up and it's heated and so
again,
on.
Again with hot water.
Again with hot water, because you're not cooking, you're simply heating. And once it's mevushal, that's not a problem. So sharina do b'chamin b'shabbat. But kosha loba b'chamin b'lifnei ha-shabbat. If you hadn't finished doing what needs to be done before Shabbos, then maybe chinoto b'chamin b'shabbat, be allowed only to pour water over it. Pour hot water over it. You couldn't soak it in the hot water. And actually, some things you couldn't even pour hot water over. Such as, chutz min hamaliach yashan, if you've got some very well salted old herring, which requires just a little touch of a wash off to be ready to eat, and that's its completion. Or kuyas aispanin, which is a type of, Rashi says a tunina, which also requires just a quick wash. So it would be a kind of Japanese dish, maybe. Raw fish sushi. With a quick wash, but this is a wash sushi, hot wash sushi.
Why don't you just put the outside kikufa,
yeah, we didn't say it's kli rishon yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. So those things, hadachatan, zoi gemar melachtan, we're over there, that is actually the thing that you would normally do to it. Then that's its cooking, which shows what? Well, it depends which sheet that we were following the Mishnah, which is what the Mishnah is trying to show. Which shows, perhaps, that hot water is a way to cook. Which shows, perhaps, that light cooking, if that's the way that it is cooked, is cooking. Which shows, perhaps, that something where people would have eaten it raw anyway without it is still called cooking. Again, each approach to the Mishnah brings a different raya as to what this shows. And Lamaisa, it's all of the above, which is usually the case, is we need to take into consideration all of these issues. Now, the shaila is over here about what are we talking about, what type of Irui. That is really a machlokas rishon. And remember, the Rabbeinu Tam holds that Irui of a Kli Rishon, actually, is the same as soaking in a Kli Rishon. So obviously can't be talking about, you can't be sure of it, you can be Ma'ara, because that doesn't make any sense, same thing. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, as Tosis points out over here, the, of course, that we had back in Chulin wasn't really a question here, but by extension, he would have to learn to talk about Irui from a Kli Sheni. So those shitas that are makbid on Irui of Kli Rishon would learn that the Sukh is talking about a Kli Sheni.
You're talking about another shlav? Or are you talking about
another shlav?
In other words, even though it's not going to cook at a certain temperature?
No, this isn't cooked, this is salted.
Salted, are you just washing it off?
No, it also has a pu'ula on the thing. In other words, you'll taste the difference. Not only in terms of washing it off, but it gives that last, it gives the last tikkun. I mean, again, you need to be bulky and herring to appreciate this thing. It takes a lot of guts to go through these South African foods. People have been working on me, and gradually, you know, I'll take maybe a slightly perceptible to try.
Is there an issue of Magna Patish here?
Oh, interesting question that David asks. There are those who tiny that since it says it's Kibar Malachtan, so then it's Magna Patish. All of the Achroim go wild over this, because if it's Magna Patish, the whole Gemara falls apart. What are we bringing a riot to dinner of a bishop for Magna Patish? You're certainly not going to say that on a base that's Magna Patish. Magna Patish is the final stage of any malacha. That makes excellent. As Scott brings out, the Mishnah Brura actually in the Bir Halacha goes to town to prove that the icing on the cake is not Makriba Patish, and that there's no such thing as Makriba Patish on food. There's a natural relationship to Makriba Patish in terms of in the Halacha. It wouldn't be shayach on food. Hot water. But hot water, again, very curiously, in halacha, is not defined by its temperature. It's defined by its and its container's heat potential. So you could have something of the same temperature in a different container, which is now going to not cook.
But in this case with the fish, it has to be able to do something to the fish.
It's hot enough to do that.
Hot
enough in terms of heat contents or hot enough temperature-wise?
Temperature-wise, obviously.
Whatever it takes to make that fish change its nature, right. That's the temperature of the water. It has to be in order to change.
The difference between cold water and hot water or whatever it is. I mean,
there's different stages in the difference between cold water and hot water.
Well, I mean, obviously from this there has to be a differentiation, otherwise it would have said you couldn't even rinse it with cold water if you made that difference.
Yeah, you can't be mavashal in cold water. That's a given for the Gemara.
There has to be a degree that says...
Sure.
Thank you.
By the way, cold water... In this case, if you take a real salted herring from the mantle and you put it in cold water, that's the Gemara. That's for sure. That's preparing it for food.
But that doesn't have been a dish.
Why
is he
want
the Gemara
Malachi?
Because it's trying to say that a dish that completes what's needed is called dish.
Only.
Not only, even. If you have something which is Kali, it's Bashel. Mm-hmm. Even. By the way, this halacha is in fact very nogea, the tea question, by the way. Because from here we see a klal, the dvarim that are Kalei Bishul, called Kalei Bishul, you cannot even do hadacha. Hadacha tam, zuik vamalach tam. Which is the reason that we're machmer not to make tea on Shabbos.
With tea bags. Right?
What is that?
No, I'm as opposed to the fresh tea.
Same thing. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought
a tea bag is fresh tea
and
in a bag.
And it hasn't been in water yet.
And it hasn't been in water yet. Okay. Right. So there you have something which may be a kal bishul. Its standard preparation is with the irui. How can you be Maharan on Shabbos? You would be actually cooking it.
So why do
it? Could even be with cold water?
No.
So why do people do it?
You would need a Kli Shlishi, and there the problem is that there is a din of temperature as well, which Kli Shlishi doesn't deal with, which we'll see later on, which is a higher level of temperature that is called searing, which is not Yad Soledet, but Yad Nichvet. So Yad Nichvet, according to many Shitas, doesn't matter how much heat there is. Only the temperature matters. In which case, if you have hot water that is still scalding water, we use the same concept in English, scalding is nichvet, then there's no such thing as a Kli Shlishi, it won't matter.
Nichvet is worse, it's higher.
It's higher, sure, yeah. Soledet means you pull your hand away. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's damp. Sholet, oh, the Gemara, it's not a Gemara term. So the interrelationship between temperature and heat actually breaks down when you get, according to many Shitas, when you get to the stage of Yad Nichvet, then already we consider it to be the same, no matter how little of it, how little heat there would be in the Yad Nichvet.
It says Afanan Itminus is talking about Galgo Chayafatos, right?
Yeah, we're trying to bring a raya that you're Chayafatos.
So Rebbe's saying, how do we know the Shur talking about?
That is exactly the Taina on those Shitas that understand. Exactly. How do you prove from here that this is a Din of Chayafatos? That's what the other Rishonim Taina on those who learn that that's what the Mishnah is coming to establish. According to those who learn that the Mishnah is coming to establish that it's possible to say that it's derech bishul on something that is not an actual fire, and Rabbi Yosef is saying, you're chayav chatos, can you show me exactly? Where do you see it's chayav chatos? Bishlam, if you're telling me you're looking at Gemara Malachta, I'm fine. You bring a raya from here? That is bishul, it's Gemara Malachta. What in the world does this have to do with the proof that this is derech bishul? That's already a whole different question. But that indeed is the taina against Oshita. The Gemara wasn't even raising that point, according to those Rishonim. Because otherwise, how is it proving it for me? Sorry?
And so Rebbe's saying, I'll leave it for another point.
Oh. That's
it
one.
Happened, I know. Just
it happened.
Except,
how do we have it even in the Gemara itself?
Never looked at gift twice.
But even in the Gemara itself, even the Gemara itself, why does the Gemara assume that it's...
Exactly. That's the Taina. So it must be that that wasn't what the Gemara set out to prove, according to the Rishonim.
Even though it says
Afanan Namitnina. Afanan Namitnina, the part that we were in doubt about, which is whether Bishul is Gemar Malachtan. Weren't you going to tell me that Gemar Malachtan is the definition of Bishul? Obviously, you're Chayav Chatos. Yeah. Velo Yatkenu Besudari. The next case in the Mishnah was don't use a piece of material heated in the sun to cook an egg. Now, Haditznan, Notnin Tavshil Lutoch Habor. Now, wait a second. How about the Mishnah that says that later on, you could put your tapshil inside of a pit, bishvil sheyesh shamur, in order to maintain the temperature. V'tamayim ayafim deraim. Furthermore, you could take a pitcher of clean water and put it into a cold pool of dirty water, bishvil sheyitzananu, in order to keep it cold. You can take a clean water pitcher of cold water, and you could put it out in the sun in order that it should get hot. Hey, wait a minute. Put it in the sun in order it should get hot. I thought the Mishnah just said you're not allowed to use a hot piece of material. Koshiken, you shouldn't be allowed to use the sun. So are we saying that this is going only according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mishnah? The Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi? Velo Rabbanan? Amr Reb Nachman said, Reb Nachman, no. Actually, counterintuitively, everybody agrees that if it's in the sun itself, there's no problem. Because nobody's going to confuse eating in the sun with putting into a fire. They view it as two completely different things. So there, the Rabbanan also would have been moda. You could cook your egg in the sun. You can't cook your egg in a thing that was heated by the sun. So therefore, there would be no objection to a solar oven. You know, they sell these solar ovens. You want to make yourself a steak on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to bake a steak on Shabbos, fresh steak, Let's put it out in the sun. You have the concentrated sun.
The fact that it hits the reflector.
No, but it's still directly there. It's not something that's heated by the sun. I'm using the light of the sun. There's no problem in cooking on Shabbos proper in the sun using solar energy.
But what kind of picture?
Picture?
What we say.
Oh, here? Yeah.
But doesn't that help the picture?
No, no. Again, it's a question of what it looks like. I mean, we're using the light of sun directly.
If it was a real picture, that would be a problem. It would have had a large
sun. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, that's one of the things that's considered in the problem of the solar water heater.
Did you ever cook steak on
Shabbos? Are
you going to
publicize it?
No. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, yeah. When
it's not being broadcast, it's
like a steak.
So keep, furthermore, the Toldot HaOr, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue about things that have been heated in a fire, that those things now are going to be usher to heat something else. He also agrees. You notice that he doesn't necessarily argue in all of the cases over here. He's moda about that. Ki pligi betoldot hachama, the only machlokas that we have over here is, you heat something in the sun. Now you use that something that you heated in the sun to heat something else. So one mandiyama, namely our Tanakama, holds that we're going to be gozer toldot hachama to toldot haur. Since you can't tell the difference, once you're looking at hot water, was this hot water cooked in the sun or was it cooked in a kettle? I don't know. So if we allow you to use hot water that was cooked in the sun to heat something else, you'll use hot water that was cooked in a kettle because it's not nicker in the mayim itself that there's a difference. Therefore, we make exera of toldot Akama otu todota un umar sava lo dazrina, and whereas the other man diama holds, there's no such desire.
Thermal water was heated by Gehenna.
We're getting to that. We're getting to that. But that would be a whole shaila whether are there baths in Gehenna or not. This is we're getting to that. Volo yat minenu bechol. Now it furthermore says, you cannot heat it in sand. The liflog nami, Rabbi Yossi Boha. How come Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue on the later cases? How come he only argues on the sudar? Why doesn't he argue on using the hot sand? Rabba says, look, it really has nothing to do with the issue. It's a separate gzera. Gzera shema yatzmin beremetz. Since sand is often mixed with coals, as we've already seen by the Ketima issues, we're afraid that you're going to use remets and then you'll come to actually, make a fire on Shabbos if you poke at it and so on. So we just include this in the general issur of chitui b'gecholim.
Remets are burnt coals?
Remets is a mixture of dirt and ashes. In other words, where you put it out, and this is what you're left with. There's plenty of hot parts to it. The other simple explanation, Rabbi Yosef says, it b'chol doesn't have anything to do with Bishol. It has to do with the question of Bishol Meziz Afar Mimekomo. We are worried that if you're going to cook in the sand, you may end up maybe making a little hole in the sand. Because the top sand is loose, so there's not a problem maybe. But if you push a little too hard and the sand is packed on the bottom, then you're digging on Shabbos. So therefore, we make a zera when it comes to that. Same thing would be true about Avad Drachim. I mean, what if there's not enough? You want to dig in a little bit. So Mamela, just because of that, nothing to do with Bishol at all. Maibinayu, the difference would be, Kabinayu Alper Tichoach. If you have set aside your own little oven, which consists of basically nice soft sand in a box, and your kids play in it when the sun isn't out, and your kids bake in it when the sun is out, and you put an egg in it if you want a hot egg. So there, I mean, obviously there's no chashash of mezi zafar mimakomo, not of muksa, not of chitu. I mean, there's different approaches to this. There's no problem at all. Hashemkin, if it's a gzer of remets, then we answered it. Basically, Ramat Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Megagalin Beitza Gabi Gagro Teya. You all know the movie Egg on a Hot Tin Roof, right?
Yeah.
So that's this. That's right. So that's the shaila over here. Can you boil an egg on a hot tin roof? So it says over here, yes, you can. You can actually put your egg out on that Aten roof and cook it up on Shabbos. But in the Gagalin Beitzagabe Sidroteach, Lasha Inkain, you cannot take hot seed out of the where they process it and it's burning and use that. It retains its heat for a long time.
Seed is created through fire?
Like yeah, fire. Yeah, the limestone thing that they have over there by Milaseret, it's a big limestone thing. So there, Bishan Lamanemet Zereshemiyatmin Beremet, I understand the problem of Remet doesn't apply over here, perhaps, but Lamanemet Zereshemiyatmin Afarmi Mekomo, why aren't we afraid, if you put it on a roof, why aren't we afraid that you're going to maybe dig? Because a normal roof, Stam Gag, let be Afar. I mean, certainly a hot tin roof, there's nothing to dig on. So a normal roof doesn't have anything that you dig into. They tiled. They had tiled roofs. They had tiach roofs. Yeah. Tashma.
How does
the seed get hot? Told us that I understand. That part is clear. Everybody's motive. That's awesome. But the question is, why don't we say that it's usher to do it on a roof? Because of the gzeirah. Yes, but you said that Rabbi Yossi is moda, that you can't put it in afar drachim, you can't put it in chol, so why can't you put it on a roof? According to that man Yomer, answers the Gemara, because a roof in a chinami doesn't have usually this type of thing on it. Toshma. Maaseh shasu anshei Tveria ve'evi'u silon shel tzonein letochama shel chama nechami neton atzof. Now, if the gzeirah is Shema Yatmin Beremetz. Okay. Shema Yatmin Beremetz. What they're doing is basically hatmana. You're answering any hatmana, is what you're saying. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, that you are okay in using the chama, but not in a case where you may come to the Yatmin Beremetz. Okay, so then this is the type of hatmana. That's why they told him it's no good.
The water, running the pipe through the water, is hatmana? Sure.
Of course, by definition. You bury a pipe in hot water. That's hatmana.
What if you do the other way around?
What?
If you do the other way around, is there...
What's the other way around?
Have hot water pipes going through the...
To cool them, that's okay.
But pipes running
in, you're not being... Hatmana is for heat, not for cool. The only reason Rabbi Yossi is arguing is because of the problem of moving afar, or chol. How could that possibly be affected in a case of where we're dealing with water? I mean, you said it's not, wouldn't affect you in a hot tin room. Why would it affect you in a pipe of water? Water is not, there couldn't possibly be a way to come to an iser of meziz afar mimekomo. Answers he, me sabed mice at very asefa. What? How did you understand the Mishnah? That the Mishnah, we were trying to bring a raya that there's an iser in avak v'chol, and we're saying not only avak v'chol, but also chamet veria, and therefore you should know that there's certainly everybody would be mode about that. And so now you're bothered. What do you mean? Avak v'chol, I was mowed only because of meziz afar. What are you talking about? There's no comparison to the water. That's a complete misunderstanding of the Mishnah. On the contrary, the Mishnah was coming as a raya against, actually, what we were saying over Yehu was that this case of Maisa Tveria proves that even Toldot HaChama should be usher, which is a raya against Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter. So if anything, the whole story of Tveria was a weapon being used by the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi. You claim that you're allowed to use a hot handkerchief, and the Chachamim did not allow us to use Chamei Tveria. So why is it, what's the difference between Chamei Tveria? After all, Chamei Tveria are essentially only a hot handkerchief, because you heated them with geothermal energy, which we're assuming now is nuclear, and not toldot ha'ur. So therefore, why would there be an iser? comes along, Reb Yossi, to say, Amar Lahu, you're wrong. Geothermal energy actually comes straight out of hell, doesn't come from any kind of nuclear processes. And it's actually called Toldot HaUr because it's Chavei HaPitcha Deganu. My say, the idea of Chamei Tveria is unique. Chamei Tveria is one of those places which anybody who's been to Tveria recently can see, is clearly coming straight out of hell and not from and normal sources.
Nuclear heated?
Well, the earth is cooling, and the original processes that keep the earth hot inside and a radioactive breakdown. So according to the Chachomim, that's not usur. Rabbi Yossi is tining again. I mean, the question of, you know, how seriously we mean this type of thing. Again, the idea is that the halacha considers the perception, not really not any reality. So we view that as being, that heat is the way we view hell, essentially, right? We go straight down to hell. What is that supposed to mean? Down. What's down? That's because we understand the earth is hot. And that's our concept of the remains of the original heat. Omer of Chista, mi ma'aseh she'asu anshei Tveria, v'yasu l'rabbonan. You know what? After this story, gosh, this had terrible implications, because after this story that the Chachomim asked Anshei Tveria from using their wonderful hot water, I mean, they had this water going from the day, during the daytime, and they asked it anyway, which means that they're telling you that if you put something in and something that's going to keep it hot and it adds heat, like Chachomim Tveria adds heat, you can't use it on Shabbos, even though you put it in before Shabbos. So you see from here that there's no Atmana B'davar HaMosif Havel. Tainus Tos, I understand. It's a Ferish Mishnah that you can't. I mean, we had a whole discussion earlier about what you're allowed to do in terms of Atmana before Ben HaShemashah, during Ben HaShemashah, B'davar HaMosif Havel. Mishnah says later on in Ein Tomnim that it's also, I have a Ferish Mishnah, I need to know me, Maisa Shasa Anshei Tveria. So answers towards a number of possibilities that could be over here, Mimaisa Anshei Tveria, that they ossered them in eating it if it had been done. So they said, we're going to oss, you can't drink it. So if you can't drink it, it means over here that if you had been matmin, it would be also to use. That's what he means. So that Hatmana now becomes actually also to use. The other pshat that Tosis brings is that it appears from here you can't be matmin even a Kedera Chayata. Even a raw kedera. Before we said, we don't have many problems with raw things. Because anyway, you're misalik your dots from it, because it's got all, it's not going to cook for tonight. So here it's marsh, but they were misalik even that. That's another pshat. Omar Hula, the fact is, halacha kan shei tveria. Forget about the chachomim. They're right. It's okay to use the geothermal energy to heat that pipe. Amalei Rav Nachman, you're too late. Kvar tavrino anshei Tveria l'sinul nayel. They already busted it. It's gone. Forget it. They've accepted that halacha. You ain't going to recreate it. Ma'aseh she'asu anshei Tveria. Now, they said, you're not allowed to take a bath. Meaning what? Remember chitzat ko gufo, what they mean literally? To go take a swim in this thing? And they're saying, we're going to give it a din of chamin that are cooked on Shabbos, and therefore you can't take a swim. You're telling me that only water that's heated on Shabbos, you can't take a swim. But if you got water heated before Shabbos, you could take a swim. Now, that's a nice idea. So, Chamin Shulchamu, Chamin Shulchamu Be'erev Shabbos is mutarim, V'atanya Chamin Shulchamu Me'erev Shabbat, if you have a container of hot water, then you can use it on Shabbos, L'makaro Chetz Be'em Panav Yadav Raglav. You can use it for your face, your hands, your feet. But you can't go into a pool with the stuff. Alalo kol gufo. All right, so then what are we going to be forced to say? That when they said we're going to treat it like water that was heated on Shabbos and it's usur, we mean to say usur even for Bonaviyot of Araglav, correct? But now the rest of the Mishnah isn't going to make sense. Because now that we're saying, okay, Bonaviyot of Araglav, so now ima seifa. And if the Anshei Tveria to this on Yantav, we'll give it a din of Chamin Shulchmu B'Yantav, and it's usur to wash, but it's mutter to drink. Excuse me? Usur to wash in Yantav? on water that you heated on Yantav? You're telling me you can't heat water on Yantav to wash your face? Only Beit Shammai holds that. Are you telling me that's non-stomach of Beit Shammai? Then you got a star mission like Beit Shammai. That's not. Beit Shammai omrim, lo yecham adam chamin raglav, elein ken ruyin l'shtiyah. According to Beit Shammai, you can't heat water to wash your feet unless they're also drinkable, meaning and intended to be drink. Beit Hillel matirim. So we've got to be talking about now washing your whole body. But then we have to go back to the other steer. Then the other deer goes, uh-huh. Which means that on Shabbos, if you have water, it would be water to wash all body. Omer Avika Bar Chanina, we're talking indeed, l'shtatevtem kol gufo l'askina. We're talking about taking a shower, taking a bath in this stuff. And it's going according to the following man, the Omer, who in fact is matir on Shabbat, such a thing, as long as it was done before Shabbat, under certain circumstances, the Tanya. Lo yishtatef adam kol gufo. Bein dechamin, bein mitzonein, give Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is very machmer not even to take a cold shower if you're going to wash your entire body on Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon, matir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, depends. Bechamin asur, mitzonein mutar. Okay. So that means when Rabbi Shimon matir is going back, bein dechamin, bein mitzonein. So that means we have a Tana named Rabbi Shimon, who is an awfully popular Tana, otherwise known as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he allows you to take a hot shower on Shabbos, apparently with water that was heated before Shabbos, obviously, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. So it's Kecham Yitzchukma B'Shabbos, and therefore it's Osir, but had it been Ulcham from Erev Shabbat, then Enochinamia would have been Mutter. And if it's Kecham Yitzchukma B'Yom Tov, so then we're going to ask for the whole body, according to Beit Hillel, because we're matir only pun of Yadav Aragla. Strange. Omer Chista, well, it's not quite as simple as you think. Machloket bekli, avol bekarka, divrei hakol mutar. Actually, if it's in a swimming pool, then nobody is going to think that you heated the swimming pool today. Swimming pool takes a long time to heat. So therefore, if you've got a heated swimming pool, everybody's motor you can use your heated swimming pool on Shabbos. Because there's no chashash that you're going to heat your swimming pool on Shabbos. You have to have started heating it a few days before anyway. So Mamela, it's not a problem. But the Mice of Anshay Tveri essentially is a heated swimming pool, if you think about it. I mean, it's in the karka. It's going to be Bechalik. Well, it's certainly not going to be Bechalik on a case-to-case basis. You're telling me, the karka is no problem. That's the case. They're not Sheikh Ferry, you know. And they took the hot water, and they have now a bath, a heated bath with the stuff. So that's in the karka. And the Rabbanit said it's us. That's a problem. Let's reverse that. Actually, just the opposite. Machloket bekarka. Where did Rabbi Shimon say that you can actually take a hot swim on Shabbos? It's dafka in a pool. Even Rabbi Shimon is made that it's usher. Because there, it's easily confusable with chamin that were huchmum on Shabbos gufa.
Is that before?
And that, gentlemen, concludes our exciting daf plus for the day. And now we are going to do our review, our structural review, our halacha review, and our daf review, and our Midas Hayom review, then we've got our Yerushalmi review, and you have no questions as to when the next staff will, because we'll be sitting here till we get to it. There's still a chance to add your, this is your opportunity, your big opportunity, to add your 2 bits, which can be $100 and up, to Rav Shlomo Kaplan's Tzedakah Fund, which provides actual edibles for Shabbat in Barnea's Gemara, right there, Shabbos. So we have a nice envelope for that purpose. Anybody who hasn't given yet is welcome to give.
For Shabbos or Yontif?
For Yontif, I'm sorry, this is for Shavuos.
Insulating the deck to raise the heat isn't the problem. Putting a blanket on top.
We're going
to
see. Okay. That's a whole paragraph dedicated to that.
Why people hold the swimming is us or us about?
That's a different issue. We're going to get to that too.
But we haven't really just going in a pool might not.
That's right, exactly.
Just going in.
Right. Washing as opposed to swimming. We'll see that by swimming, we have other things to consider, like little swimming tubes, or like...
making a raft.
Making a raft, a nice little blow-up tube.
Is that what it is?
Undoubtedly. Over your experiences of 6 o'clock to 9:30. Okay, our Mishnah here on Lamed Ches on a day. Let's go for it, huh? Tanur shiziku bekasha begavava lo yitain me mitocho bein mi al gabav kupak shiziku bekasha begavava reze kikirayim begefet uveitzim areyu kitanur. Tanur shizikua. Sofer of Yosef Lameima, tocho means tocho literally, al-gabab means al-gabab mamash. Aval ismach, what's the problem? Efe abaye kupak shizikua bekash begivava, areo kechirayim, begefet uveitzim, areo ketanur v'yasur. Okay, but, hakikira shori. Aha. B'may askina. Ilem al-gabab u'b'may. Ilem begishenu gorof akartum, as must be, as Tosis explains. So elakira again a group of tuma gaba mishari elalav lismoch vikatani areo ketanur v'yasur. There you go. It's also lismoch. Omer avada baraba hacha bekupav goru v'katum and the tanur a group of tuma. So therefore we're saying areo ketanur the af agav the goru v'katum agaba v'asur. Whereas if it had been kikira, then if it had been group of tuma, it would have been fine. Nothing to do with the smoke. L'may satani kavati de'abaye. Tanur shisiku, bekash begivava, in somchim lo, ve'in tzorich lomar al gabav, ve'in tzorich lomar lo tocho, ve'in tzorich lomar begefet uveitzim, which would have everything wrong. Kupach shisiku, bekash begivava, somchim lo, ve'in notnim al gabav, although you should know the gra has notnim al gabav, ubegefet uveitzim, in somchim lo. Okay. That settles it as far as the bride is concerned. Amalei Ravacha Vareda Ravala Ravashi. Hai Kupach Echidami. Ike Chira Dami Efele Begev Deveitzim Nami. Ike Tanu Dami Efele Bekashu Gubava Nami Lo. Amalei, look, it's not Bishavle Mida Kira, and Zutar Havle Mida Tanur. Echidami Kupach Echidami Kira. Amre Biezer Rebbe Chanina Kupach Makom Shvitat Kedera Achat. Kira Makom Shvitat Shtei Kederot. Amre Abai Vitema Rebbe Yirmiya. Afana Nami Tanina Kira. Shenech Lekalo Orcha Teora. Lerog Batameya. Kupach ben lorcho ben lorcho tahor, which shows that a kira can actually be split into two usable parts. Ein notin beitza betzara mecham b'shvil shetitkal gira v'lo yavki eno besudarim, Rabbi Yossi matir, v'lo yet min eno becholo bavak drachim b'shvil shetitzaleh, which Rabbi Yossi agrees to strangely. Ma'aser shosu anshe tveria, v'vir silon shal tzonein l'tocham v'shochamim, omru lahem chachamim, ha! אם בשבת, כחמין שוכמו בשבת, ואסורים ברחיץ ובשתייה. אם ביום טוב, כחמין שוכמו ביום טוב, ואסורים ברחיצה ומותרים בשתייה. איפה אלוהו. What about if you went ahead and גילגל מי? אומר רבי יוסף גילגל, חייב חטאת. אומר רבי רבין אפדן ונתנינה. כל שבא בחמין מלפני השבת, שורין אותו בחמין בשבת. וכל שלא בא בחמין מלפני השבת, מדיחין אותו בחמין בשבת, חוץ בין המליח הישן, וקויס היספנים, שהדחתן זו יגמר מלאכתן, שמע מינה. לא יפקנה בסודרים, עוד את זה נותנים תחף שלתוך הבור בשביל שיש שמור, ואת המים היפים ברעים בשביל שיצננו, ויד הצונן בחמה, הו, בשביל שיהיה חמור, are you trying to tell me, להם רבי יוסי ולא רבונה? אומר נחמן, no. בחמה itself, כולי אמרו פליגי דשורי. בתולדות האור, כולי אמרו פליגי דעשר. The question here is, ki pligi betoldot chama. So, my sovi l'abonon ol gazrin and toldot chama ot toldot achur. And Rabbi Yossi ots for gazrin, and that's the whole question. V'lo yatminena b'chol, how come Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue in this case? Rabba megzir shem yatmin beremetz, which is often chol and avak, Rabbi Yosi Omer Bnei Shemezi Zafar Mimekomo Mai Binei Rikvinei Rafar Tichoach Mitzvah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Megagelin Beit Saga Begagroteach Vein Megagelin Beit Saga Besidroteach Bishon Lamanei Begzera Shemayat Bin Beremetz. Okay, and a gag like a Lamegzah, where's this Gebremetz? Elman Di Omer Bnei Shemezi Zafar Mimekomo, maybe there'd be offer. Stam gaz bless my alpha. Toshma, Maasesha Suan Shitveria. There's no point in it. A vir silon shot sonema to hamishochami. The bishop, Lamanem exertion, yet mean Berem, it's fine. Okay, this is Atmona. But Laman Yonishim is a farming, we go on a liquid, you're going to gasp. My kilomema. No, me seven maces, the Anshitveria, safe and coy. A reisha koi, we were trying to prove to Rabbi Yosi. That it's awesome. Okay? We said, Lo Yafkenu B'Sedarim. Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter. So turn around the Rabban and they say to Rabbi Yossi, aha, you think it's mutter? Hamaisid Anshi Tveria is basically Todot Chama, just like the handkerchief. And the Rabban said it's awesome. And here he said, no, it's not Todot Chama. It's actually Todot Ha'ur, the Chalfei Apitchet again, Omer Chista. Mimaaseh Shasu Anshi Tveria. And the Chachamim came along and answered, that's the end of Atmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel Apil Mibodiyom. Omer, Ula Alok Anshi Tveria. Omer, Rav Nachman, you're too late, Ula. For Tavino Anshi Tveria L'Tzilunayim. Ma'aseh Shosu Anshi Tveria. Now, they answered Rechitza. What kind of Rechitza? Ilem Rechitzat Kol Gufo, so what? Chamin Shukum B'Shabbos, so they asurin. You're telling me if I have Chamin Shukum B'Erev Shabbos, it would have been Mutter? But Tanya, Chamin Shukum B'Erev Shabbat, L'Makar Rechitzvem, only Fun of Yerav Raglav, Avalot Kol Gufo. So Ella, what are you going to say? That it's talking about Fun of Yerav Raglav. What do you do about the Sefer? The Yom Tov, Kikami Chukmu, the Yom Tov, Vastur, and Berchitza, Mutar, and Beshtia. So what, you're telling me you're not allowed to wash your Fun of Yerav Raglav on Yom Tov? So Lema Stan, Toma, Tsunan, Kebe Chamai. The Tsunan, Be Chamai, Amin, Loya, Chamadam, Chamin, Raglav, Ella, and Kain, Ruhin, Lishtia, Ube, Tevar, Matirin. Omer Avika Bachananya, no. We're talking about a shower. Shtadikram kogu for askina. And it's going with Shimon. Hi, Tano, the Tanya. Lord, Yishtatefadam kogu for bein bechamin, bein betzonein, divi Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Shimon is matir, even in chamin. Rabbi Yeromer, bechamin asur, betzonein mutar. Omer Kis, by the way, Machlokis says only if it's in a bathtub. Avo bekarke divi ako mutar. Vom, I said, Anshe Tveria was bekarke. And the Rabbanan answered, oops, sorry, Elayin Nachyidma. Machloket Bitaka, Avo Bakli, Devre Akol Asur. Rabbi God, God, free.
Would Sonin mean like not the slightest?